to the experience.
So,
welcome to the experience.
Ladies
welcome
and gentlemen, I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
And with that one statement, everything changed. Welcome to the Delvin Cox Experience, the podcast in which each week I'm on a one-man mission to unite our culture through diversity. I'm your host, Delvin Cox, and this week, that statement couldn't be more truer than it is today, as I tackle one of the biggest topics in our country today, the social and political divide that is facing our country. In the upcoming weeks, I will have discussions with people from different races, cultures, and even other countries to not only get a better understanding of the problems that we face today as Americans, but to find a middle ground in hopes of making us better. This episode tackles white America. Hope you guys enjoy. Okay, with me on the podcast right now, I have my brother, a guy I love dearly, great guy, always been supportive of me, Mr. Chad Fackler. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Okay, these are the questions I have for this project I'm doing. I don't think I told you much about it, but it's about basically the state of the United States right now.
Okay.
So let me start off with the first question for you.
Alrighty.
What are your experiences like being a white person in America?
Well, I live in an area that's predominantly white, small town, middle America. Though honestly, the town I work in is a lot bigger, so it's a lot more diverse. I know this sounds crazy, but since I didn't grow up with a lot of mixed ethnicity, I don't have any, I've never had preconceived notions about it, I guess. So like I know this sounds like a cop-out kind of answer. It's not. It really doesn't make a difference to me. I've met, you know, people who are Black, African-American, Indian, Chinese, and none of it really makes any difference. I personally try to judge people on their character, not on their color. So, you know, really, and I know everyone's like, oh, you live in middle America, you must be a white supremacist. Oh, yeah, I shave my head, but other than that, I've got nothing in common with them.
But I like that answer. Okay, question number two.
Okay.
Have you ever felt mistreated specifically because of your race?
I don't think I've ever felt mistreated because of my race. I did once not get a job because I wasn't a veteran, which I understand they give preference to veterans in some cases, but that kind of felt.
They actually told you that?
They weren't supposed to. I found that out afterwards, though.
That's why I got a little shocked. Like, they told you that?
No, they didn't tell me. It was a position where my dad worked at a factory, and he was trying to help me get in. And the plant manager was his brother-in-law. And anyways, it ended up he got to hear what the hiring people told them and found out that that was it. And again, I no grudges there. I mean, I'm not a veteran. I get that, but. You know, so yeah, I actually have had a case where I've been kind of discriminated against. As far as color, not really. There's been times when I've been in like large groups of people who were in my area, like I said, not nearly as many Black people as there are Mexican heritage. So okay. I have felt, you know, you will get in situations like that where you're in with a group of people and they're all talking Spanish, which I only speak a little bit of it. And so, yeah, you feel a little bit left out and you got to wonder, what are they saying behind my back that I don't understand? But for the most part, no, not really.
Question number three. I think this is an interesting question. Okay. Because this affects everybody. How do you think the environment you grew up in affect the person that you are today?
Oh, absolutely. It had a big effect. I grew up with a mom, divorced family, when I was very young, about 8, I think. And, my mom though was exceedingly open-minded about most things. So I've grown up surrounded by people who were, you know, gay and lesbian and different cultures, different races. And so I was always taught to be, you know, to learn, not to be closed-minded, if that, you know, if that makes sense. While I haven't, like I said, I haven't grown up in a really ethnically diverse area. I learned a lot from the families I was around. You know, like I can tell you who makes the best chicken mole here in town. You know, I know that's affected me as I've gotten older, because I know I'm not closed-minded about a lot of things. You know, whereas I see other people who are like, you know, oh, that doesn't agree with how I grew up or whatever. And I can't believe that that's right. And it's like, dude, everyone has a right to whatever.
That's a beautiful answer, man. Question number four, and this is the dreaded question that everybody kind of freaks out about, but I'm going to ask because it's an honest question. Do you think you've received any advantages because of your race? The AKA dreaded white privilege. Have you ever experienced it yourself?
Let's see. The government that you know taxes, of, at least. The government taxes me the same as everybody else. Okay. No, not that I know of. I'm sure there are cases I may have, but I couldn't possibly name one. I've worked in everything from tiny little companies to large companies, and I've never seen anything like that. Doesn't mean it doesn't happen. Just means I've never seen it. You know, and I know it happens out there in the world. I just don't know that it's ever happened around me. I can't think of any time, you know, I've gotten pulled over by the cops, had nothing to do with race or anything else. Not that I know of.
That's a great answer, Chad. I appreciate you being honest with that. I can understand you probably not knowing if you ever experienced it, because you probably wouldn't be looking for that.
That is correct. I mean, and no one's going to like this particular part of this answer, I guess, but I think the people who experience a lot of that maybe go looking for it, if that makes sense. You know, if you're looking for it constantly, you're gonna see it. It's just like,
that's a good point.
If every question's a nail, then every answer's a hammer.
That is a very good point.
You know, and I know there are people who do that. There are people who go out every day trying to find out what's gonna offend them that day, and that has nothing to do with race. They're white, black, red, yellow, any color. There are people who do that every day.
Yeah, it's kind of become like a career choice.
Always. Yeah. I'm a professional protester. It's what I do, you know. And there are people who do that. You know, I'm offended by everything, no matter what it is. So,
you're right. Question number five. Do you think you experienced any disadvantages because of your race?
Well, they wouldn't let me play in the WNBA. I think that's because I'm white. Maybe because I'm male. I'm not sure. No, I know there are certain advantages that are out there that I can't take advantage of. I know there's been like business opportunities. Had I been female and a minority and pregnant and on welfare, I'd have gotten that loan kind of thing. And yeah. I know those exist. It's not just poking fun at it. My sister, single mom on disability, and she can get stuff that I couldn't possibly get because I'm white and male and relatively healthy. That's a loose term, but...
But yeah, you're not getting the United Negro College Fund.
Let's just say that. I'm not.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know how many people actually get that anyways. You know, you see all these things and you wonder who actually gets these. I hope they're actually out there being useful, but you got to wonder some days.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, because spoilers, I'm black. And I never got anything from the United Negro College Fund.
Well,
I did get a scholarship, which helped me a lot when I was going to college it's called the 500 Male Role Models of Excellence. I think it's 5,000 now.
Awesome.
But that was open for all races.
Sure.
Yeah, it focused mainly on African Americans in inner cities, but if you were a white kid who lived in the inner city, you could apply for this and gotten the scholarship as well.
Nice. Very nice. Well, and you definitely fit the description, sir. You are absolutely a role model.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, Chad. I love you for that one, brother.
Not a problem. And no, people, right. I am not getting a check for this.
Question number six. And this is my favorite question out of all of them. What's the proudest you ever been of this country?
9/12, the day after 9/11, because the whole country came together. They stood together. They cried together. They held each other together. And unfortunately, we've lost some of that. But in my lifetime, that is probably the proudest moment I've ever had of this country. Because it didn't matter if you were Republican, Democrat, black, white, we all came together that day. And yeah, that was, you know, again, it was our worst moment followed by our proudest moment.
Yeah. I think I can agree with that a lot. Okay. Question number seven, which is the opposite of question number six. What's the most disappointed you've been in this country?
Well, that's a loaded question too. There's been an awful lot of those.
Let me be clear when I say this. Disappointment doesn't mean you don't like the country. You're only disappointed in things that you love. You know what I mean?
I get
that. Like if my son does something wrong, I'm disappointed in him. That doesn't mean I don't love him.
Right. No, I understand that.
Yeah. Some people get that twisted. Let me make that clear.
No, I understood, because it's not about, you know, I still love the country, but yeah, there's been days when it's like, really, really? So, yeah. I'll be honest, it's almost every time there's an election lately, there's such divisiveness, and let's face it, in the past, you know, 10 years, 15 years, it comes down to voting for who's the lesser of evils, not who's the best person for the job. Who do I hate less? Yeah. You know, and that's sad. So, I mean, yeah, you could pick any day of election or day after election in the past two decades, probably. And those are some of my most disappointed moments. And it doesn't matter which, you know, one side or the other wins. It's the race up to that. It's the acting like, you know, there's a right and a wrong answer there. There's not. There's an opinion, and there is no such thing as a wrong opinion.
Yeah.
And I think we've lost sight of that at some point.
Okay. Question number eight, and this is a hot button issue right now, but I feel like we need to have a discussion about it. So. Okay. How did you feel when Donald Trump actually won the election?
It honestly felt like a comedian skit.
I think it has been a comedian skits before.
Here's the thing. I didn't like Hillary. I wouldn't have voted for her. I didn't like Donald. I didn't vote for him. I am, I'll say, conservative in nature, but open-minded about everything. I'm much more what you would describe as a libertarian. So that's how I voted. Again, either one of them scared me to death. Hillary scared me to death. Donald scared me to death. So I don't know which would have been worse, or, you know, we know how this one's going. We don't know that Hillary would have been any better. You know, and that's it. It's another case of I'm kind of disappointed. Everyone wants change, but yet no one wants to vote for it, if that makes sense. You know, if you really want change, quit voting a two-party system. There's more than two parties out there. You know, vote for what you actually believe in, not this, oh, if you don't vote Republican or Democrat, you're throwing away your vote. No, I'm voting my conscience, and there's a difference.
That's a great answer. I like that answer a lot. Question number nine. What are we now? 2 years into it? 3 years into it now?
Two, I think.
Okay.
Feels like 20, but whatever.
Now that he's had a chance. How do you feel now after he got elected, and how do you feel he's done so far?
He's hasn't done any worse than anyone else. And I hate to put it that way, but he hasn't done any worse. The economy's up. Jobs are up. There's less unemployment, though I don't know how much of it's actually less unemployment or just people falling off the unemployment rolls, because that is a thing, and most people don't realize that.
Yes.
They simply run out of unemployment, and then they're not on there, so that number doesn't count anymore. I know the big issue right now is the government shutdown and, you know, the wall and all this stuff. And here's my problem with that. No, I don't think anybody should be turned away, but I think there needs to be an orderly process to it. It used to be everyone's like, oh, well, this country was founded on immigrants. It was founded on people who wanted to come here and become Americans. The majority of the people who are coming here illegally don't want to become Americans. They want to come here and take stuff. They want to come here and get free stuff. They still want to keep their traditions and their lives alive. And I get that to an extent, but we were called the Great Melting Pot for a reason. Everyone came here. My ancestors came here too. Just, you know, unless you're Native American, which technically they came here just a lot longer ago than everyone else. Everyone came here and blended together to become Americans. So at that point, you know, we've forgotten about that. We've forgotten that that's what the point of coming here is. So, no, I don't think he's the worst president in the world. I don't think he's the best president in the world. You know.
That's a good answer. Question number 10. This is the hot button issue. But your answers have been honest, and I appreciate those answers.
Not a problem.
Do you think the country is divided, and what do you think the reason is why the country is divided?
Yes, I think the country is divided. What do I think the reason is? Miscommunication and not understanding. I think too many people get too emotional. And again, I'm going to go back to the fact that we can't have honest discussions. We can't have an open dialogue about things. It's, oh, you don't see it my way, so you're wrong. And yes. And that's not the case. I have an opinion that's different from yours. That doesn't make you right and me wrong or me right and you wrong. It just means we have different opinions. And people have forgotten that. People don't want to talk. They want to tell you what you should think. And I think the media plays into it. I think, you know, newspapers and TV network, news channels, I think they all play into it. It's, we can't have a discussion. It's got to be my way or the highway in all these cases, it feels like.
And you just answered the question of why I'm actually doing this series right now, because I want to open dialogue between everybody about these issues so we can kind of find a middle ground. Because like I said, if you notice, I'm not giving – when I'm having a conversation with you, I don't really give my feedback or opinions on it. It's not because I don't agree or disagree. It's because I want your word to be heard on the issues.
Right. You're just looking for my opinion of it.
Yes, because I think it's important to hear different points of view. And my hope is that these episodes will open up a dialogue between people.
Oh, I hope so. Because that's what we need. That is so what we need. We need to be able to talk about it, you know, because nothing gets fixed by fighting and screaming and shouting. You have to talk.
I completely agree. Question number 11, and this is a great question.
Okay.
If there was one thing you could change about this country to make it a better place, what would it be?
Empathy. More people need empathy. They need to understand what the other guy's feeling. You know, if people didn't just take their opinion and if they actually took the time to think about what the other guy was saying, and I'm not being sexist, guy, girl, whatever. You know, if people would actually listen and not just listen with your ears, but listen with your head and listen with your heart. Empathy would go so far in this world, but people don't, and they have a serious lack of it. They don't care what anyone else thinks. I want you to hear what I have to think. I want my 15 minutes of fame. I want to be on the news. I'm important. You're not. And that's too many people feel that way.
Yes. Final question.
Okay.
If there was one message you'd want the world to hear, what would that message be?
Take the time to honestly walk in someone else's shoes. Don't just judge people. Take the time, learn about them, talk to them, find out what they're thinking and why they're thinking it. What leads someone to, you know, this is how I think about something. It's never as simple as I woke up one day and I decided I was a Democrat. It's what led you to that decision. What makes you think that your opinions agree with their opinions and vice versa? What makes you think, you know, that guy's wrong because of what he believes? Why? Maybe take the time and learn why he believes that. So, yeah, I take the time, walk a mile in my shoes before you make a judgment on me.
That is a great way to end this chat. You have been awesome. Thank you, brother.
You bring out the best in me.
Thank you, brother. I love you. That was Chad Fackler, a good friend, like family to me, somebody who's always been there for me when I needed him. And I appreciate his insight on this issue. Next up, we have my man Seamus, who's also a really good dude. He has a different sort of perspective on it, but I think it's what it needs to be heard. So check out Seamus and the conversation I had with him about this. Thank you. With me on the podcast right now, I got my brother Seamus. How you doing, brother?
I'm fantastic, man. Superb. Living life.
Good, good, good. All right. I'm going to get into these questions, man. It's some interesting questions. Just want you to give your honest response to it and how you feel about the situation, whether you want to describe and express yourself with it, okay?
Okay, not a problem.
Question number one, what are your experiences like being a white person in America?
Honestly, man, I it's a weird thing because I did not grow up with advantages. I still don't have those advantages. I'm still, you know, scraping to get by. And I live in a place where it's predominantly encouraged to, you know, kind of drag you down. They don't do anything to benefit you. They don't do anything to push you forward. There's not an entertainment industry. There's not, you know, I don't even remember the last time that I've seen a concert anywhere near this area. But the way I grew up, it was more or less like, you know, hamburger helper meals and the struggle. So I always grew up on, you know, and I moved a lot. I was one of those few people that never had a steady basis for where I lived. And that sucked because I was the oldest, man. So you lose friendships, you know, you make friendships really fast and then they're gone and then you're on to the next school. And then I actually would come back to, you know, schools that I had went to. So my experience is, I don't even know how to explain it. I feel like it's pretty damn unique. And that's kind of what makes me the person that I am. And, you know, I feel like I have a lot to stand on because of where I have came from. And if there is a certain amount of success in the future, I can only say that because of what I went through, it's kind of deserving, you know, but I will be, I've been humbled by it 100 times over.
Awesome. Great answer. Nice. Question number two, have you ever felt mistreated specifically because of your race?
Not really, man. I honestly feel like I'm one of those people that I fit in. I can acclimate to pretty much any environment. You know, I've worked pretty much every kind of job you can work in the industry of customer service. So I've worked with all different kinds of races and I have been one of those people that's just, I associate with everyone and to a positive nature. You know, I don't really try to be negative and I try to be uplifting because I know what it's like, man. I kind of feel like I'm one of the few people that knows what it's like to not have shit, have people kind of be negative and there's no, and I still feel it today where there's no lifting this. You know, there's no pushing me forward. And that might just be my own personal experience, you know, as I priorly mentioned, but I don't know. I don't feel like I've ever experienced something like that, whereas pertaining specifically to the fact that I was white.
Okay.
I honestly, I'll just say this real quick. The reason that I feel that way is honestly due to every person that I meet, I'm just like, dude, I'm Irish. Like, I wasn't born in Ireland, but just look at me. You know, and people can be like, oh yeah, he's Irish. So I don't know if that makes it any different, but I am a ginger. So I definitely feel like that's a, you know, we're a pretty rare breed. So we definitely have a different type of upbringing, if you will. You know, like, I was the only ginger that I knew for the longest time, but I also knew other gingers, seen other gingers go through, you know, redheaded kids specifically, just being tormented. And that's the one thing that I refused to deal with, you know, growing up, because I expected it. Because the, you know, growing up in the 90s, you were either watching movies where the redheaded kid was an asshole, like, you know, the problem child, or, you know, the O'Doyles from Billy Madison, who are a bunch of bullies, you know, in the same sense, either that you were getting picked on or you were the one picking on somebody. Does that make sense?
Perfect sense. I think you led right into question number three. So that's a good lead in. How do you think the environment you grew up in affects the person that you are today?
Oh, it is who I am 100%. Like I said, that's what makes me humble, and yet I've not really accomplished stuff. Honestly, when I look at it, you know, I can say 100 things that's like, oh man, other people would be like, oh man, I wish I would have done that, or I wish I could do that, and I've done it, and I don't look at it that way. It looks like I still look at it like I'm not finished. You know, there's still a lot more to come. But, you know, pertaining to the question in itself, it was a single household family. You know, I had two little sisters. So I am very stern and domineering in a sense, but I'm also fun and carefree in a lot of ways at the same time. It just kind of depends on the situation, the environment, and what is asked of the, you know, the generic person. You know, I always look at it like, being in public, you know, just being in public, there's a certain thing that you're asked of. There's a certain thing that you're asked of when you're driving down the car, driving in your car. And to me, I feel like there's definitely a correlation between the average person who drives a vehicle and can automatically abide by those rules on the road, you know, where you see like somebody stopping for somebody to let them out, you know, just being a nice person. I feel like driving is one of the places where we are the most real and authentic people that we can be. You're either super aggressive, you know what I mean, getting in, you know, annoying people, or you're one of those people that's just like, hey man, we're all going to get there. Right. I don't know what made me kind of think of that, but I was driving one day, you know, a long drive, and I was just like, man, people just kind of get it. You know, there's a handful of people that don't, but there is predominantly, you know, I'm 30 years old and I've drove a lot and I've never had an experience where it was like, oh man, if it wasn't for that dude's mistakes, I wouldn't have had this accident, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you just pay attention to, I don't know. It's maybe it's just my analogy, but I feel like that kind of goes in turn with just life in general. What is asked of you in general? You know, people don't go out of their way to ask extra shit of you. They don't. They expect you to just live by this specific standard. Don't go nowhere lower. Don't go nowhere higher. And I don't know. That's kind of what pushes people to, you know, grow and try to get out of there and either, you know, become a shitty person or become great. You know, the middle ground is where people try to, I don't know, you either try to get out or you're fine with it. You know what I'm saying? It's confusing, I guess, to me and the way I'm trying to express it.
That's a great answer. I think I like the answer.
But it has affected me.
Yeah, definitely. I like the way you explained it.
Thanks. Trying to give it my best. Sorry for interrupting.
You're doing good, man. Question number four. Do you think you received any advantages because of your race?
Let's think about this, because I'll just tell you a quick story where I was, you know, I had this big thing where I was growing up, my mom being a single household, that I was forced to get into the job market kind of early. You know, 14, 15 years old, I'm putting in applications at Subway, you know, just to get something, even if you're just sweeping, right? Yeah. So I found myself in positions where it's kind of worked against me when I'm trying to get a job, just because of my name. Like, my name, my actual name is Patrick. So it's very Irish in itself. And I feel like I go in for specific jobs, and of course they know I'm a white guy, but it's like, I don't want the job that they're offering. I would rather, you know, if they're going to pay me so-and-so money to do this when I want to be the dishwasher. But because I have, you know, these other experiences, I have managerial experience, you know, I'm ServSafe certified. They're going to push me to do these extra jobs. For instance, I got this job at Wendy's, right? Not too long ago. And I was right out here in Michigan City, man. It's not too far from Gary. My boss was black. You know, I worked with a lot of black dudes and I'm always cool as shit with them, dude. Like I rap, you know what I mean? I'm not your average white dude by any means. I grew up, I told one of my buddies recently, I was like, man, I fucking know Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? I think that was us on my Tuesdays with Mary podcast. Fucking know Kool-Aid, man. I still have Kool-Aid today. I have some in the fridge right now, just in the expression of like, that's cheap stuff that only some of us can afford. That's all you know because it's all you can afford. So I understand like the consistent struggle in life in general. And, you know, it is a thing where you would assume that there could be an advantage to being white. But I felt like I've, you know, this job working at Wendy's, I worked there and I had no intentions of moving up the ladder, if that makes sense. No intentions. I didn't want to. I had been a manager before and I don't like it, man. It's not fun trying to force people to do stuff they don't want to do, extra stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So within like the first 4 months, man, they were begging me to go train in Maryville at this like $1 million store so I could become a manager. And it's like you're saying with the question, you're basically, the concept is like, is there an advantage to being white? And that's kind of, to some white guys, they force you regardless. You know what I'm saying? Just because you might have a little experience, you might be able to talk to people and they automatically force this extra stuff on you that you might not even want. Like I never wanted to be a manager. I didn't want to have to go work in another store for fucking, what was it? 2 months or some shit just to train, to work with people and faces I've never seen before. So like there's an advantage and a disadvantage. I'm sure people have had other experiences, you know, just being a white guy where it's like, I can put an application in anywhere and pretty much get an interview. And I have felt that way, but I promise it does not work like that, man. Even with, you know, a decade's worth of managing experience and everything I've done, I've still had to work my way up. But I did end up getting just a quick thing. My more recent job, because I'm a stay-at-home dad, the most recent thing that I had actually applied for and got was a job at Meijer. And I had to go through a multiple interview thing. Like I had talked to 3 different people, interviewed by 3 people, and then finally got in like 2 months after, dude. It was insane. Now, the first day that I actually go back in after all of this stuff, that day they made me do orientation. So I was there for like 5 hours at Meijer. And while I'm standing in this circle of all these other people, it was mostly girls that also got hired for orientation, right? The main lady leans over to me in front of everyone and is like, hey, can you work Friday, 8:30 to 5? I'm like, I don't know what my job is. I don't even know what I'm doing. You know, I just had a kid. I'm not sure exactly what this is going to entail. I need to know if I can do it. I need to learn what the job is. And then I end up getting a call. They get the walkie-talkies, you know, and while we're during orientation, the lady comes back through again and she asks the lady who's hosting the orientation if I can work Saturday too. I'm like, what is happening? So in that sense, that to me, that is a disadvantage. It's like, guys, you know, this is great and all, but you have to give me time to acclimate myself to the environment that I'm going to be around. So it kind of goes back to the other question about being a product of your environment. I'm shy as shit in those situations. It's like you almost put on this facade and I start talking too much. You know what I mean? So I'm like, this isn't me. This isn't really me. And I want to be able to learn the job so I can do the job properly. But, you know, I don't know. Honestly, to answer the question, plain and simple, is I've never felt like I've gotten anything extra. I do feel in a sense of like dealing with police. Yeah, it's way easier. I know that 100%.
Yeah.
I've had way too much experience with them to know that, you know, I can get pulled over with a 1/2 ounce of weed. Well, not me, but a buddy in the back seat and nobody gets taken out of the car. Nothing. We get to just drive away. That kind of shit is crazy.
Yeah.
Because it does not work like that everywhere. But I I've had experiences with some officers that are just corrupt in that sense where it doesn't matter who you are. You know, they're going to fuck with you regardless. But yeah, man, not to drag it on too long, but yeah, no. I have pretty lengthy answers, I guess.
No, that's a great answer. You went a little bit and said question number five. The question number five is, do you think you experienced any disadvantages because of your race? And you went a little bit into it, how you were saying how people kind of expect more out of you. That's what you're trying to imply for certain situations.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. They 100% assume that because, like, you know, I don't know. Put it this way, dude. I've done a lot of things to make myself look more intimidating, so people stop coming up to me and asking me stuff. I've been asked medical advice. Like, what? I'm at Arby's right now, sir. I don't know. What? Do I look like a doctor? What's happening? Like, I have 1-inch gauges. You know, I have a beard, tattoos, all this stuff. I've done all this stuff so that way people would not talk to me. And people always talk to me. It's the weirdest thing. So I kind of get, you know, it's a weird thing. But repeat what the actual question was. A disadvantage or an advantage, you said?
Disadvantages. But you, well, like I said, you got into it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say that, you know, I'm probably one of the few people that you would actually talk to that has been locked up and been locked up for some time. And, you know, I've been around some thug, you know, people, regardless of being black or Mexican or whatever, they're gangsters. That's what they do. And once again, I acclimate myself. You know, I've never had an issue where it's been like, oh, you know, these Mexican dudes don't like you or whatever. Never a situation like that, ever. Like I said, I've always had a pretty good relationship with anybody because I was not born with a silver spoon up my ass where I felt entitled to anything. I've had to, you know, scrape and claw my way to where I'm at, period. You know, I've lived in my car. I have lived in my car in somebody's driveway before. Put it this way, dude. When I got arrested and knew I wasn't coming home, I was already living in my car in somebody's driveway. So at that point, guess what? I was happy to go. You get 3 meals, you get a shower. It's not hot as fuck. Because mind you, it was the middle of summer while I'm living in this car. So you'd wake up and it's 105 degrees.
Wow.
So I'm just not your average man. Life has not been the fairest, to put it that way. But I am blessed in a lot of ways. You know, I'm lucky to be here. A lot of things could have turned sideways because, once again, okay, here's a quick story to go back to the advantages about, you know, with police and stuff.
Okay.
When I was, I would say 17, 18 years old, we used, you know, of course we used to party. Now I was the only one that had a car at this time. So I had to pick up all of my friends. Now it got to the point where we couldn't stay at my house. We couldn't stay at my best friend's house and we couldn't stay at anybody else's house that we picked up because clearly they weren't even supposed to be leaving at that point. So what happened is at this one point we stayed, me, my best friend, and just one of our other buddies decided to sleep outside of a school, just way kind of like towards the neighborhood-ish. So we weren't like right next to the school. We were almost in the neighborhood, but just still in the school parking lot. Well, we all fall asleep. Mind you, it's like 2:30 in the morning that we go over there and we're not even drunk, man. We're just blazed, literally just blazed. Now at this point we had a sack of weed in my glove compartment. We pass out. My buddy in the back was always crazy. Well, he ends up waking up at one point, throwing up all over himself. Like he filled my door. You know how you have that little thing that you can pull the door closed from the inside, that handle?
Yeah.
He filled that with vomit. Ugh. So yeah, I ended up jumping out of the car. I popped the trunk, give him a towel. We kind of all passed back out. About an hour later, because I look at the clock, I hear somebody banging on my window. Hard as shit, man. And my buddy in the back, Ryan, the guy that had puked, he proceeds to tell me, he's like, it's a fucking cop. It's a fucking cop. He's just repeating himself. It's a cop. It's a cop. It's a cop. It's a cop. Because that's what he would do. I don't know why. But I look back out my rear windshield and I don't see any cherries and berries. It's just headlights. So I proceed to just go back to sleep. Like, fuck this guy, I guess. I don't know what I was thinking. Start to just close my eyes again. And the dude bangs on the window again. He's like, roll down the window or I'm going to fucking break it. And then you just hear him hit the window really hard. He doesn't break it. And at this point, I start to get pissed. So I don't know what was in me, but I decided to grab my cell phone out of the center console and just jump out of the car. I wasn't running or nothing. I just threw the door open and jumped out. You can't do that shit these days.
Wow.
Not at all. But in that same instance, right, he just tells me, get back in the car, put the cell phone down. I'm like, all right, it is a cop. He's shining his light on us and stuff. Of course, he asked for my license, registration. Where's the registration, Delvin?
There is none.
No, it's in the glove compartment with that weed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So now this would have really been the first time that we ever got in trouble for anything. Well, what happens is my buddy John, he was a real little guy, and he was kind of like huddled up, sleeping with his head down. And he heard the guy say something about registration, and that's when it clicked in him. He's like, oh, my giant bag of weed is in that glove compartment. So with like this crazy move, man, I went and popped the glove compartment open. It dropped down just enough because John put his knee up. My buddy throws his knee up to where it just barely opens. I slide the registration out, and he closes it, and that was it. Cop didn't see nothing, and we live to tell these stories. You know what I'm saying? It was, yeah.
That's crazy, to say the least, because
– go ahead.
There's so many – well, I'll say that for the end of the episode. But let's move on to question six. I'm going to say something about that at the end of this episode. I don't want to damage the questions, but yeah. Question six. What's the proudest you ever been of this country?
The proudest?
Yes, proudest.
Would you say, should I just choose something from like my timeline when I've been alive?
I would say, yeah, that makes sense. Choose something when you've been alive.
Wow. Man. All right, I'm going to be kind of brutally honest. I have a lot of negative things, man, honestly.
It's well, you're going to number seven.
Yeah, it's an accumulation of just bad shit. Because, like I said, I've always lived in a place that's not given me an advantage. You know, so for a proud moment, you know, there's a lot of good things. You can lump them into, into one. Catching Osama bin Laden, shit like that, you know, I would say probably, you know, stuff like that is all good, but you know, there's a lot more. I don't know. Let's go to the next question.
Question number seven. This one might be a lot more easier for you.
Yeah.
What's the most disappointed you've been in this country?
Man. Well, I'll say first and foremost, my biggest deal is health insurance is a big issue for me. You know, I haven't seen the doctor in over a decade. And that's my own personal thing, but it's also the concept of us having to pay for our own healthcare. It seems absurd when like we're the only country that does that shit. But you know, 9/11 really fucking sucked. That wasn't cool at all.
Yeah.
You know, just and any school shootings, that fucking sucks too, because you know, I graduated in 2007. By that time, the security level to get into any school around my area was insane. You needed to show your ID to let the doors unlatch. There's cameras outside. Everyone wore an ID or a visitor's badge. There was usually a cop patrolling. It was absurd. So seeing mass shootings still being a thing and people getting away with it is crazy, especially in schools. You would think at this point they would have done something to really
stop it.
Yeah, and I'm not one of those people. I could care one way or another about guns, man. I grew up around people that hunted and shit like that. I grew up around guns. It's fine to a certain extent, but it's got to be the right person that has the weapon. The wrong hands, bad things happen. We've seen it 100 times.
Definitely. Question number eight. How did you feel when Donald Trump got elected?
Well, here was my whole thing, man, because me and my buddy Luke, this is still when we were, you know, before he moved to Montana, and he was my co-host for a while. My biggest thing was, you know, I'm a huge Illuminati guy. Like, I love conspiracies and stuff. So when this all came up, I looked at it like this, man. I looked at it from all the other countries' perspective. They already look at us like we're fucking entitled, greedy, self-righteous people that feel like money is the end-all be-all. If Donald Trump was to get elected, to all the other countries, it pretty much just says exactly what they thought about us. We are money-hungry. We are greedy, narcissistic, self-entitled, right? Because of who he is. Because people have to know him. He's not just – he has, you know, properties and everything else around the world. So people know his name. They know who he is. They don't have any clue that he has any idea what he's doing. So really, like I said, it's, they're showing, is basically just saying, hey, this is the guy that we chose to run our country, and look at what he is about. So by looking at what he is about, you ultimately can say what we thought about everyone else that's there, because that's kind of why they hate us, man. People hate Americans for those reasons and those reasons alone, without ever knowing anything else about us. They just assume that, you know, we're pigs, I guess. I don't fucking know what else to call it, but entitled, you know, and not all of us are that way. And when these other countries see somebody that is the full, you know, the human form of entitlement, taking the highest office in the United States, there, that is clarification to all of their, you know, prior thoughts about us.
Good answer. Question number 9. Now that we're almost like 3 years in, how do you feel about it now? Did anything change since when he first got elected?
The jokes have gotten better.
Yeah, that is true.
You know, the stand-up comedians that are attacking him in a lot of ways, they're really subtle, most of them. You know, they're not just blatantly saying, they'll just call him Orange Man, which is pretty good. But, you know, obviously I have the same complaints as everyone else, but I'm not super political in the sense where it's like, if, you know, Red said this recently to me, he said, you know, if it's not within 3 feet of my personal space, it hardly bothers me at all. So it's the same kind of situation, but in time, all of it kind of affects everyone. So that's where it's like, you know, you got to keep an eye on certain things to an extent. Healthcare.
Question number 10. Do you think the country is divided? And what do you think the reason is if you think it's divided?
In what sense? Like with the different types, the different parties, or just people in general? Like there's something between the people.
In general, as of like today, today's climate.
I think maybe between like real people and fucking trolls, there's definitely a divide in that sense, because those are subhumans that, you know, we're never ever going to see, but those people do walk amongst us. So there's a divide in that sense. If those guys were ever to wear like name tags, like, hey, I said this on the internet one time, you know, whatever. But I don't know, man. I feel like we're the type of country that says, you know, I can kick my brother's ass anytime I please, but if you fuck with my brother, you're getting all of us. That makes sense.
I get what you're saying. That's a great answer. I like that answer. Question number 11. If there's one thing that you could change about the country to make it a better place, what would that be?
Free healthcare, free schooling, free education. Why not? All of it. I mean, it's the simplest things that's only going to make us better as people. Why not give it to us for free? It's insane not to. To forcibly say you can't learn more because you don't have the proper means to an end to do so. Or we'll give you the money to go to college and all that, but by God, you're going to have to pay every cent of it back. That's insane. It's absurd.
That's a great answer. Final question before we go into the overtime session of it, which is going to be an extra bonus. But final question, question number 12. If there was one message you would want the world to hear, what would that message be?
Peace, man. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, honestly. Because it's not, the word itself means more, you know, than just, hey, B, smoke weed, man. No, it's a lot more than that. It's deeper, man. What's the point in fighting with each other? What are we to gain when there's so many other people that hate us?
Now, adding to the conversation, I think it'd be appropriate to add a woman's touch. So who better to add than Chad Fackler's lovely wife, Jen? I thought it would be cool to have her on because she has a different perspective on things. And she's also a very cool person. I think you guys will be interested to hear what she has to say. Thank you. Check it out. On the podcast right now, I have Chad's better half.
Thank you for having me, Delvin.
Super listener, Jen. Superwoman, a.k.a. Question number one, Jen. What are your experiences like being a white person in America?
I guess my experiences have been in work situations, friends. I guess I'm with Chad, so we both live in a small town where the majority of folks here are white, Mexican some. Now where I work, I live in a, or I work in a suburb of a big city, Toledo. And so at work, we have a much, much more diverse staff. Our clientele, we're an assisted living facility, and our clientele is white, straight up woo, rich old housewife, white. But the staff is white, black, Mexican. I don't think we have any Asian, but so I, you know, me being white doesn't really have a whole lot of impact on my life because I'm surrounded by all of the above.
Okay. Question number two. Have you ever felt mistreated specifically because not only your race, but because you're a woman?
Ooh, you're going to throw the woman card in on this one too. Okay. Exactly. So those are two different questions. Race, kind of, because again, I work with, some women that are black or Mexican. And a lot of times I feel like they gravitate towards each other. And there is definitely like a different speech pattern when you get a whole gaggle of black women together. It turns into a completely different version of English. But the same as Spanish, you know, most people that speak Spanish speak Spanglish. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, hello, da-da-da-da, you know? So sometimes, yeah, I do feel a little isolated. Because I could be white. As far as female, yeah, for sure. Because there are some things that are quote-unquote, you know, manly topics. Yeah, exactly. Buying a car, going to a mechanic. People always crack up when I start talking about cars. I like cars. I'm not a gearhead, but I'm definitely interested in nice vehicles. I know my way around tools. I know my way around plumbing. And that absolutely makes me different than what most people would expect out of a woman, out of a female.
That's a great answer. That's an honest answer. And I appreciate that answer. Because a lot of people don't hear that side of things. Yeah. Question number three. How do you think the environment you grew up in affects the person that you are today?
Oh. Okay, so I grew up in a really weird suburb because I grew up outside of Cincinnati, and the community was originally blue collar, and it was transforming into white collar, and is now very upper crust. But it used to be, you know, very blue collar, very middle class. So when I went to high school, we had farm kids. We had very, very poor kids. We had middle class kids. We had kids that got the Lexus for their 16th birthday and bitched because it was gray and not hot pink. So the environment I grew up in affects me probably because I don't know. I look at everybody for what they are. You know, you're poor, you're rich, who cares?
Yeah, that's a good answer. Very good answer. Question number four. This is one of those answers I'm going to flip a little bit.
Okay.
Do you think you received any advantages or...
Delvin, you broke up so much on that last question. Could you repeat it, please?
Question number four.
Okay.
Do you think you've received any advantages because of your race or because you're a woman?
Race? Not really. I don't, again, it could be there. You know, there could absolutely be some benefit given somewhere down the line because I was white. I have no idea when or where. It's not obvious to me. An advantage because I'm female. Chad's over here bobbing his head like, absolutely. And you know what? We're going for honest answers. So let's go for honest answers. If I go to a bar and the bartender's male and I have my boobs out in all their glory, guess what? I get served way faster than anybody else.
That's not his answer.
Oh, yeah, he's right. Speeding ticket. I've never manipulated it, but you know what? I get pulled over. I cry. They take pity on me because I'm a poor, defenseless female. I've never gotten a speeding ticket. Oh, Jesus, knock on wood. I'll get a speeding ticket tomorrow, damn it. So, yeah, I think there's definite ways to work it. And it would be very manipulative to say, oh, well, I need some help because I'm just a poor, quiet female. And if you could kind of go easy on me, I'd appreciate it. You know, I think whether you use that advantage or not is up to you and really defines you as a person. But I definitely think there is an advantage to be had as a female.
That's an excellent answer. Question number five. Do you think you have experienced any disadvantages because of your race or because you're a female?
Disadvantages. You know, kinda.
Feel free to be honest. Say what you gotta say.
I'm working on it. Like I said, I'm not as fast as Chad with some of these answers. Do me a favor, say the question one more time.
Okay. Do you think you've experienced any disadvantages because you're a woman or because of your race? Or both, for that matter.
Yeah, I think people have preconceived notions because of both. You know, like I said, I'm a female, so obviously I'm delicate and quiet and I don't know anything about home repair or cars, and I don't have a voice, and I'm white, so that means that I've never had any disadvantage, and everything's been handed to me, and oh geez, I grew up in a middle class community, so that means that, oh my God, I'm a white female that's had every opportunity given to me. Well, guess what? Absolutely none of that is true. I have a voice. I know how to do things. I know how to handle my business. And I have worked for everything in this house. I started from the ground up. I have worked every day of my life. I have never had anything handed to me. And I'm very proud of that. So, yeah, I think sometimes people definitely put you at a disadvantage because they assume, you know, all those things that I'm quiet and helpless and have everything provided for me. And that's not true in the slightest.
Excellent answer. Question number six. What's the proudest you've ever been of this country?
This is one that tripped me up when you asked, Chad. The proudest. I agree. 9/12 was definitely a shining moment. The proudest I've ever been of this country. Yikes. That one's hard. I guess I'm more proud of individuals in the country. I think, yes, the solidarity shown on 9/12 was impressive, man. As a country, that was a great, brilliant, shining moment. But I'm proud of Americans a lot. Every time they reach out and do something beneficial for their community or country, that makes me incredibly proud. You know, you have groups of people that go to airports to welcome home service members. Well, holy hot dog, man, that makes me cry like a 2-year-old. And that's American pride, you know, supporting the people that make things possible.
Great answer. Question number, what's the most disappointed you've been in this country?
Again, it's more individual actions. I am incredibly disappointed every time I hear of someone going to another country and bad-mouthing the United States and then coming back and enjoying the lifestyle that has been provided for them in this country. Don't you dare stand in the company of my enemies and badmouth everything you've lived with your whole life. You know, that's a holy rolling crock of crap. And if you go somewhere and you badmouth the country, feel free to stay. We don't need your backstabbing BS here. Get out. Sorry. Not that I feel strongly about that, Delvin, but that's ridiculous. That's two-faced and that's unconscionable.
I'm trying not to be say anything to agree with you because I'm trying to be as impartial as possible. But right. I will say this. I love my country. And I think even with all its flaws, and it does have flaws, it's okay to point out the flaws, but you don't go to somebody else's house and shit on your house.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I don't respect that at all. Like, if you go to another country and they start talking crap about America, like, yo, I hate when people do that.
Yeah. You can stay there. We'll send you your stuff.
Yes. Question number 8.
Okay.
This is a difficult one.
Okay.
How did you feel when Donald Trump got elected?
Hopeful. I was very hopeful that some of the things that he said were going to be carried out. You know, you got to take it right off the top that, yeah, he's full of crap. He's an entertainer. He, you know, loves the limelight. He loves the shock and awe factor. And, you know, come on, we knew that. Either loved him or hated him for it. But I was incredibly hopeful that he would put his, you know, actions where his mouth was.
Okay. That's a great answer. And that answer leads into my next question. And you answered it perfectly. Now, what is it, 2.5 years in, mm-hmm. whatnot, how do you feel now? Do you think anything changed about the way you felt about it before?
Incredibly. I'm incredibly disappointed. And let me be clear. I'm disappointed kind of all the way around. Because, you know, he's done some stupid stuff. He's done some great stuff. But there are times when he stood in front of the camera and looked like a 2-year-old. And in the very same breath, I will say, there are times when everybody else has stood in front of the camera and acted like a 2-year-old. So for the most part, I'm incredibly disappointed in everybody across the board. Nothing's getting done because you're all behaving like idiots. So this administration, just, you know, flush it down the toilet. Nobody's doing anything good because they're all busy arguing with each other.
Good answer. Question number 10. I don't know the answer to, but I'm asking anyway. Do you think the country is divided? And what do you think the reason is, if it is or if it isn't?
I absolutely think they're divided. I think they're divided because no one knows how to agree to disagree anymore. Everybody has to be right. It's not that I can just let you be black and be the way you are and be fine. No, 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 no. I have to make you white. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, sure, you're gay. Well, but you can't be gay because that's different from me. So don't act gay.
Yes.
Or, you know, you believe in abortion and I don't. Or vice versa, whatever. I'm just saying. It's not that I can just let you
be who you are.
Live and let live. It's that I have to be right. It has to be the way I believe. And I think everybody needs to just calm it down. It's called compromise and it's called tolerance. Relax.
Great answer. Question number 11. If there's one thing you can change about this country to make it a better place, what would it be?
See, when you asked Chad this one, it stumped me, man. If there was one thing I could change about this country. I got it.
Okay.
I would tell people to look outward. Quit looking inside for everything. It's not all about you. Put your cell phone down. Quit being a self-absorbed idiot. And try doing something to improve your environment. There's all kinds of people out here to interact with. And if you work together, you can make your community something great. But if all you're concerned about is what you're getting, what's in it for you, what's your benefit, what's your angle, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. And that's what we've come down to. You know, if somebody's given out something, people will crawl over each other to get it. And it's like, are you kidding me? There's so much more if people would just look outward, look around, see what's going on.
Excellent. Final question. If there was one message you want the world to hear, what would that message be?
You know, this is the second time you and I have spoken, Delvin, and I had pretty much kind of a mission going that first time that we spoke, and it was to help others. And that's pretty much where I'm at. You're not going to get anywhere unless you help the guy behind you. And I guess my message is that, again, quit looking at yourself all the time and do good acts because you're nothing unless you're helping the people around you.
That's an excellent answer. Thank you, Jen, for coming on. I love you very much. You're awesome.
I love you too. Thank you for having me. And I appreciate the fact that you're doing this because, you know, yeah, honest answers are what we need for sure.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that if this even reaches one person and gets them to open their mind a little bit, I think I've achieved my goal. Last but not least, it wouldn't be a conversation about race if I didn't have my brother Ian Corey Drake in the conversation. Good dude. always on Twitter talking about race. Me and him always have conversations together, and our conversations are always priceless and memorable. I love this guy to death, and he brings some great insight to this conversation. Check him out. With me on the podcast right now, I have my brother, somebody I deeply care about, a great guy all around, my boy Corey Drake. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm good, and it's good to talk to you. I care about you deeply. The conversations that we've had on Twitter and on your podcast have been amazing, and I'm glad that I can be back with you again.
Awesome. We are here for a deep conversation then. Well, let's get right back into it.
All right.
Question number one. What are your experiences like being a white person in America?
You know, you and I were always real with each other. And so I can tell you what I have felt has been challenges for me are absolutely nothing in comparison to challenges that my brothers and sisters of color have experienced. As you know, I'm a bit of an anomaly because while I am white, I grew up in a pretty much all black and Latino area in Texas. Not that hard to understand. And so all my friends were black. All my friends were Latino. I saw the struggles that they went through. But being a white male, yeah, things happen for me a lot easier than they do for friends and stuff like that. And it can be very difficult to watch that and also know that, you know, you don't have it half as tough as these other people do. So you can complain about, you know, a couple of things here and there, but man, it's nothing in comparison to other people.
That's a great answer. Question number two. Have you ever felt mistreated specifically because of your race?
Oh man. No, because, you know, we could get into the whole name calling and stuff like that. And someone could call me a cracker all day and it does not have the gravity or the gravitas that certain other words do to other people. No, I don't think that I've been discriminated because of being a white male. Being a male in general, at times there have been, but it's nothing that hasn't come to me because of something another guy has done before and has royally screwed up for someone else. So no, I couldn't say that, you know, I've been discriminated against.
Okay. Three. And you touched on this earlier, so let me just bring it up. How do you think the environment you grew up in affects the person that you are today?
Man, I love it. I'm so glad that I grew up in a heavy black and Latino area of town. I'm so glad that my son is going to a predominantly black school because I don't get to have the excuses of, oh, I didn't know this was going on, or, oh, I've never seen this happen before in my life. Man, I've seen it. I've seen my friends go through it. I've been through it with them. And so I'm not going to have the opportunity to play dumb. And I don't want my son to play dumb too. I want him to understand that while his best friends, his three best friends are black, he unfortunately is not going to be treated. They're not going to be treated as fairly as he is. And he's not going to be treated as unfairly as they have been. But between the two of them, they can find a common ground where they can help each other out and they can give each other experience. And so I wouldn't change my upbringing for the world. And I wish that more people had the opportunity to step into some of these inner city areas and step into some of these uncomfortable areas and see how good they have it and how much they can give back to the community to help their fellow brother and sister. You can't say that you care about somebody and then still stay, you know, 5 miles away and say, oh, I can't come over to your house because you live in that neighborhood. You can't do that. If you want to call somebody a friend, you want to call somebody a brother or a sister, you got to go to where they are. You got to show compassion. You got to show support. You got to show that you are standing beside them through their trials and tribulations. And so, no, I wouldn't change anything of my upbringing for anything in the world.
Awesome. Question number four. Do you think you've received any advantages because of your race?
Absolutely. I'd be an idiot if I didn't think so, and I'd be a liar if I said I didn't. I'm sure that I've gotten jobs faster. I'm sure that I've gotten out of a speeding ticket quicker. I'm sure that I may have been shown some type of leverage over somebody else. I cannot think of any specificness in right now, but yes, I guarantee that my race has afforded me some betterment than, say, you have.
Okay. Do you think you have experienced any disadvantages because of your race?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I like where you're coming from with these.
Definitely.
No, I mean, it. Okay, so I can't get a college scholarship meant for African Americans. Okay, fine. I would much rather that go to them when they possibly can't do anything else. Now, this is not to say that I was raised wealthy, anything like that. We were low to middle class at best through my whole life. There was years where we could eat nothing but chicken and rice because of the debt that my mother and father were in. But I can't say that because I can't get a certain scholarship or because I can't get a some type of leverage that way that I have it worse than somebody else. So I mean, I'm not gonna go there. I know that people can get some stuff, and you know, I'm supposedly from 23andMe. I've got like 70% Native American in me, so that would allow me to get scholarships and stuff. But at no time did I ever want to get any of those scholarships, because I know there's somebody out there who could use it so much more than I can.
Wow. Question number 6. What's the proudest you ever been of this country?
The day Barack Obama was put into presidency, to see my best friend and a woman who's bisexual, see her crying because of the way that the country has moved forward, to talk to my other amazing friends who are Black or Asian or Latin, and to see the hope in their eyes that we finally have a Black president. We have someone who is concerned about all the people, not just the white people. I think that was the proudest that I've been of this country. Unfortunately, some of that has changed because of our current president, but I think that was probably it for me.
Question number 7. What's the most disappointing you've been in this country?
The day Donald Trump was elected president, and the following 2 years that has happened, and to see the way that we are tearing ourselves apart. I think that's I wish I could wake up happy. It's been a couple of years since I've woken up in a happy mood with an optimistic viewpoint, especially when I turn on the news or turn on like Twitter.
Wow, you hit right on my next question. My next question, how did you feel when Donald Trump got elected? So to modify it a little bit, just talk specifically about the night when he got elected. How did you feel about that? Right when it happened, you see the votes coming in and you see he wasn't going to win and he was definitely going to be our president.
Are we PG-13 or are we whatever goes?
You can be honest as possible in this episode.
Okay, cool. I didn't really want Hillary Clinton to win. I definitely damn sure didn't want Donald Trump to win. But me being the smart man that I am, or that I think that I am, I knew that if I voted for Bernie or any of the other independents, it wasn't going to make a damn bit of difference. So I said, all right, lesser two evils, I'm going to vote for Hillary. And sitting in front of my TV and watching that for, you know, 3 or 4 hours, seeing him lose the popular vote, but seeing him get the electoral vote, the first thought in my mind was, fuck. And I was real mad. I was real mad, and I was very vocal about it to the people that I know that supported Trump. And I have not stopped being vocal about it to the people who supported Trump in the years that I have followed.
Awesome. You just led into question number 9. You know how to do this podcasting, I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
How do you feel about it now? Did anything change since that night in particular?
There has not been a single thing that Donald Trump has done as far as passing bills or anything that has been to help the common person. It has been all to fatten his pockets and the pockets of the people that he considers his constituents or his friends. I work for a women's clinic in here in Mississippi, the last standing women's health clinic in Mississippi that does perform abortions. I work as what's called an escort. I make sure that the women get from their cars to the front door safely because we have such a large outcome since Donald Trump has been elected of these empowered and emboldened right-wingers, Christian community who come out and enjoy nothing more than yelling at women how they're going to hell and they're murderers. I have been told that I am no better than a Nazi, than someone who was at Auschwitz. I have been told this daily. And this did not... There were still protesters outside the clinic before Trump got elected. But since Trump got elected, what we once maybe had 5 or 6, we now have 50 outside almost daily with their children ranging from 6 months to 16 years old, yelling at these women, holding these signs. I've gotten into so many arguments with people on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram with their MAGA hats, and especially with Roe versus Wade and with abortion and everything like that. It makes me oftentimes physically ill to have to interact with some of these people and to see them feel so emboldened by a reckless president.
Question number 10. This is an interesting question.
Cool.
Do you think the country is divided? And what is the reason you think the country is divided, if you think that?
Yes, absolutely, the country is divided. And we have no one to blame but ourselves and our use of social media and digital media in general. We don't do research anymore. We believe what is told of us, be it on CNN or be it on Fox or MSNBC. And I think that while we have an idiot in office, we put him there. And we have seen over the past month or so with Nancy Pelosi and a few others that if you stand up to this guy, he will cave because he's doing everything for the popularity to win your love and to try and win a second term. So we have no one to blame but ourselves. And that's why it is so important that we vote, that we educate ourselves, that we educate our friends. We have to educate each other. We have to hold each other to higher standards and not let the people that we call friends fall short with this false information that is so readily available. We've got to become wiser, not for ourselves. We're going to be gone soon enough, but we've got to do it for our kids so our kids see that this is not right and this is not how what is to be the greatest country in the world is supposed to operate.
Question number 11. If there was one thing you could change about this country to make it a better place, what would it be?
One thing. Universal health care. I think it's so important. And I think, especially now that I'm without a job and I'm not having to go through a healthcare provider and pay, I think I'm paying like $200 a month for myself and my son just for basic coverage, to see how bad people have it and how bad they let it happen. And to know that universal health care could solve so many issues, but God for fucking bid, somebody with fatter wallets than ours has a little bit taken out that they won't even notice to give to somebody who has a little bit less than they do. It breaks my heart.
Final question, question number 12. If there was one message you want the world to hear, what would that message be?
Hope and love. You may not agree with your friend, but you got to understand why they think that way. And then you got to try and do your best in love to tell them why you feel that way. Even if y'all don't agree at the end, you got to understand that they're still the same person that you loved 2 years ago before Donald Trump came into office. And so there is hope. It's going to take a long, and it's going to take a long time to get this stuff back to where it needs to be. But if we have hope in ourselves and we have hope in this generation, this younger generation, these high school kids who are not taking shit from anyone, we got to build them up. We got to brace them up. We got to show them that we believe in them and not try and tear them down like the generation before us has done to us. And so hope and love is what I'm still trying to show. And I hope that I do it every day, and I hope that I do it a little bit better every day, because as Jim Henson said, I just want to leave this world a little bit better than when I found it.
Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the podcast. It means a lot to me, and I hope you've learned something from it. Next week, we will have a different take on it, a take from overseas, where I'll be talking to people from different parts of the world and getting their feedback on how they feel about our country today and some of the problems they have in their country, and see if we can get a little bit more of a better understanding of the situation. But before I go, I want to leave you guys with something. I know this is different, but I want to leave you with a little message I got from Bill the Great, BTG for president. You guys may know him. He's not white, so necessarily this episode was basically about the white American experience, but I wanted to add this tidbit at the end because I think it's a powerful message to see how people feel about America right now. So listen to these words from Baylor the Great. Peace out.
We're talking about suicide. We're talking about police brutality. We're talking about school shootings and the overusage of social media. All that combined, you even have people that we looked up to letting us down. And this is all about America right now. Every single bit of it. I'm not here to slander the leadership that's currently in office, because I'm more concerned about the people that's actually following them, that actually believe in what this man says. And this is America. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, I'm from LA, born and raised. I've never experienced racism like this, ever. You know, not to say that racism doesn't take place in LA. It does. It takes place all over the world. But the level of racism that the South and the East and the Midwest and probably up North has dealt with, that hasn't been the case on the West Coast, at least not in L.A. I can't speak for too many other cities. But, yeah, I mean, I've sit there and I've watched people, how people have changed throughout the years. You know, the 90s was totally different from the early 2000s, the mid 2000s, and to the late 2000s, everything has upgraded to ignorance. Everything. Instead of helping, we're recording, you know, and it's sad because I'm watching people die every day off of shit that wasn't taking place, you know, when I was younger, when I was a kid back in the 90s. This is America, you know. But I heard a couple of people that's deep into politics say, you know, maybe it's something, maybe this is a term that we have to go through. This particular term we have to go through in order for America to wake up and realize that we need the proper leadership. And I don't feel like the leadership alone is enough. We as a people need to change.